Missouri Foundation for Health has done a study that indicates that hostility toward Affordable Care Act in Missouri seems to be, is it safe to say, melting away, or is it not quite to that stage?
I wouldn't say melting away. I would say it's declining. We've seen a kind of decline from the mid-50% into the kind of, 46-47%. So it's been about a 10% decline over the last year. I would think that some of it has been assisted by the Supreme Court decision, which upheld the law, and many Missourians got money back from their insurance companies. $62 million came to Missouri last year. So I would say melting away, maybe a little overstatement, but certainly a kind of acceptance that it's the law of the land, in the Speaker of the House's words.
Do you anticipate this trend continuing in Missouri as people become more familiar with the provisions of the law?
I absolutely do. I think that, you know, the other really important thing from this from these polling numbers is that many Missourians, the majority of Missourians, support the expansion of the Medicaid program, which we heard the governor a couple of weeks ago support, and a day later the leadership in the House and the State Senate expressing their non-support. I bring that up to say that I think that as we begin to see more and more of this law implemented, as more and more people take the opportunity to understand what the law means, both for themselves and for their community and for their own insurance prices, support will increase. And we will probably see, not unlike the Social Security program, over the long term, this kind of begrudging acceptance moving into actual support and popularity.
Was the Social Security program back in the 30s opposed by a lot of people personally and politically like this is?
Absolutely. The Social Security program was very unpopular. The critics at the time said it was an unfunded mandate, said that President Roosevelt didn't have what it took to actually get the program up and running and implemented. As we've seen the program kind of morph and change, it's grown in popularity.
The health insurance exchanges, you're saying that the majority of Missourians support the health insurance exchanges?
No, the expansion of the Medicaid program.
I know, but another point that is made here is that the majority of Missourians support health insurance exchanges too.
I think a majority of people support some sort of marketplace. You'll see somewhere else in there that a majority of Missourians didn't really understand or weren't knowledgeable about the exchanges. So when they're asked, do they support some sort of marketplace for small employers and for individuals to purchase insurance? They're very supportive, but when you ask them about do they support the exchange, they respond that they don't understand, don't know what the exchange is, or hadn't heard about it. So I would caution against reading into this as being a majority support the exchanges. I would say that a majority support it, they support the concept, but what they are very clear about is that they would prefer that the state of Missouri implement the exchange and not the federal government.
Well, I saw that and I thought that was a pretty interesting result given what happened on Election Day in November when 61% of the people went in favor of Proposition E, which put some clamps on forming state insurance exchanges here. How do you reconcile what the voters said in November with what you just told me?
I think you can reconcile these numbers by the fact that most Missourians don't understand what an exchange means. So when you say, do you support the exchange or do you not support the exchange, many Missourians say they don't support the exchange. But then when talked about what is actually an exchange does and its function, and its ability to lower prices and increase access to insurance products, they support that. So Proposition E, and we've heard this from a number of people, just anecdotally, that they didn't really understand what the proposition was about. And if you added in that there were two other propositions on the ballot, there was a certain amount of kind of confusion and not complete understanding of what Proposition E meant and what its implications were. Additionally, I wasn't in the voting booth with the majority of Missourians, but I suspect that the question was, did the governor have the right to set up the exchange, and not necessarily was an exchange a good idea or not? And I mean, I know that this is taking to a very fine point, but the question is, should the executive branch set up the exchange or should the state legislature? And the Prop E results suggest that Missourians think that their state legislature should be doing it.
The rhetoric about the Affordable Care Act, ever since it was passed, has certainly been negative, at least the political rhetoric. Are the voters, does the survey indicate that the voters have been getting erroneous messages from the political rhetoric that opposes the Affordable Care Act?
The polling does not get to that. Having done 180 community meetings in the last two years, I can tell you that my polling suggests that this is happening. People often ask the most kind of wild and outlandish questions that they either heard from a friend or got an email about or saw on a political commercial. So this polling did not do it to it, but our electorate is misinformed, and it drives lots of opinions.
There were 1,416 adults who were questioned. That's not a whole lot. What's the margin of error in this poll? Do you know off the top of your head?
Plus or minus 2.6%.
Okay. And when was the poll run?
The poll was run in October 2012, right before the election.
Right before the election. Okay.
This was run before the election, which brings up the results that people hadn't heard about the exchange, and makes your earlier question about why they didn't support the creation of it even more puzzling.
Is it a case then of asking the question in the right way?
I would say yes and no. So yes, let's be truthful. We try to do middle of the road, unbiased polling, but when it comes down to it, it's how the question is asked. And it's the rhetoric that goes into the question. Yes, that greatly affects some of the outcomes. And we try to guard against this by trying to not elicit outcomes that we're looking for. We really are looking for what people think, not to affirm what we want to hear. And no, I mean, at the same time that the verbiage matters, the pollsters will tell you that on polls like this, and we have examples of our previous 5 or 6 years worth of polls on the Missouri Foundation for Health website, some of the things that came up as a result have held rather true over the last 5 or 6 years. Missourians are concerned about insurance prices. Missourians are concerned that they don't want the insurance and or healthcare market to change too quickly. Missourians are happy with their current state of health care or health insurance, but they're fearful of what the future looks like. So lots of these things have held, the trends have held.
When I look at the numbers for the Medicaid expansion, I see 30% are still unsure of their position. That would seem to be the way a lot of Missourians feel about a number of provisions within the Act, would it not?
Absolutely. This polling doesn't suggest it, but then previous polling survey that we did suggested that people don't even understand what's in the law. So this speaks to this kind of fear that Missourians have about things changing too quickly. They don't understand or can't fathom what all of these changes mean, but they are apprehensive about them things happening too quickly. And that's a real challenge both to our state legislators and to groups that see this law as having a positive impact, is how do you go about laying down a baseline of information and then having a discussion about it.
So I guess we could turn it, modify an old phrase by saying that eventually familiarity will breed comfort when it comes to this issue.
Absolutely. I've done numerous public meetings, both big meetings and small meetings, and I usually start my meetings off by asking, who here thinks that our health system needs reform? And out of the 3,000 or 4,000 people I've reached, I have almost 100% of people who raise their hand and say, the system is broken. And then I follow that up with a question, do you think the Affordable Care Act is the solution we need? And in 180 meetings, I think I've had 10 people, which tells you that lots of people don't think that this law is the silver bullet, but they know something is broken. And I think what happened right after this law passed is lots of people were apprehensive of change, they weren't happy with the way the law was passed, and they were negative towards it. And then we have the Supreme Court ruling, and then we have the elections, and then all of a sudden there's a certain resignation that this law is here and it's not going anywhere. And as we look into the future, to your saying, familiarity will breed a certain amount of comfort. I think that people will say, it's here, let's get on with it, and let's make it the best it can be.
With your extensive experience in talking about it, analyzing it, getting public reaction on it, have you identified some areas in the law as it now stands that probably need to be tinkered with or modified or improved as we go along?
Absolutely. It's a 2,000-page law, which means that there are tons of things that I could tell you that need to be reformed. For example, there is very little in this law that really gets to bringing down the cost of care. Think about this. As of 2014, most Americans will have insurance. And what does that mean? That means most Americans who either don't have good insurance or aren't insured are going to try to get into the doctor. And we are going to have lots, probably more waiting lines, probably more time before we can see a physician or a nurse practitioner, and we may not be able to see one at all. So we have an access problem, which will lead to questions of cost, the $50 Tylenol, the expensive IV bag. This law does nothing about that. This law tries to get at workforce, but doesn't really. I mean, there are lots of question marks. There are things that need to be tweaked. There was a portion of the law that was long-term health insurance. It was called the CARE Act. That was removed from the law. There are lots of components of this law that are up to the authorization of the Secretary of Health and Human Services to implement that will never see the light of day. So to answer your question, yes, there are many, many parts of this law that will need to be tweaked, that will need to be compromised, and may never see the light of day. But even more concerning to me is we often know that today's solutions are tomorrow's problems. And just about every component of this law was aimed at fixing some sort of problem in our healthcare system, and it will naturally give rise to new problems, people trying to avoid, or changes in behavior, and those will have to be addressed. So as we look forward, we've got to think about cost, we've got to think about tweaking this law to make it more effective, and addressing the problems, concerns, and successes that this law creates.
I can hear some of the critics in the legislature, and I cover the state Senate when it's in session here, and I can hear some of the critics in the legislature say, well, the Missouri Foundation for Health has been on the side of this law from the day one when it came out, and all they're doing is doing a poll that justifies their position. How will you respond to those who question the validity of the results you folks have gotten?
Well, I would express concern because the Missouri Foundation for Health is 11 years old, and we have worked for 11 years to be nonpartisan. and we have not been on the side of this law since it was introduced. We have been on the side of any piece of legislation from any party that would improve the health of Missourians and increase the number of insured and decrease the number of uninsured. And this law does that. So insofar as we support this law, it's only insofar as it helps Missouri citizens. But to the question about this polling, just affirming what we wanted to hear, we hire a polling company that is left-leaning, and we hire a polling company that's right-leaning. And we put them in a room, and we say, work it out. And this survey is a product of both a Republican consulting firm and a left-leaning consulting firm. And it isn't just about affirming our views. We want to know what's wrong in the healthcare system, and regardless of what party it comes from. And that's what this law, this survey is aimed at doing. It's trying to assess where we are, what people understand, and what we have to do about it. I mean, I don't want to be too long-winded on this, but 2 years ago, we went out and asked Missourians what they thought about this law right after it was passed, and 53% said they didn't like it. And, you know, 50% said they hated it. And we said, okay, but what do you think about the exchanges? What do you think about this? What do you think about subsidies? And we found out that Republicans and Democrats like that. And we said, there it is. People don't understand this law. We're going out and trying to talk about what's in this law so people understand it, so that when they say they don't like it, they can say why they don't. And when they say they like it, they can also say why they like it. And we're just here as a medium. We are not trying to advocate for anything other than dialogue and movement towards better insurance and better health outcomes for Missourians.
I remember that survey you did 2 years ago. We did a story on that, too.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good one.
Well, thank you. Is Medicaid, you know, there are still some folks who are worried about the cost of Medicaid expansion because it doesn't really do anything for the current Medicaid system that continues to become more and more expensive. Is Medicaid expansion a cure-all for Medicaid financial difficulties that states are having with the basic program?
No, it really isn't. The Medicaid program, as we currently have it, will not be taking funds from this expansion population, per se. The Medicaid program has its issues. It's relatively effective, and it's a majority of its costs, 60% of Missouri's costs, are paid for by the federal government. But this program, 90% will be paid for by the federal government. 100% for the first 2 years, 95% for the 2 years after that, and then 90% in perpetuity. I mean, when we think about this, you think that the federal government is going to bear most of the responsibility for this. The state will have to put in $430 million, and in return, over 10 years, they'll get $8.4 billion. I mean, that seems like a pretty good return. And I would think that some of our legislators are actually caught in between a philosophic and economic kind of bind. Because on one hand, philosophically, you say, God, we don't want the Medicaid program to grow. We don't want more federal government. But on the other hand, these uninsured individuals currently don't qualify for Medicaid because of our program requirements. And this is an opportunity to get many of our uninsured insured. And from a fiscal perspective, this is a perfect opportunity to do this and have the federal government pay for it. So, there's a sense in which we don't want federal government going in debt. It's already in debt. We don't want to have them more in our business. But at the same time, if the federal government is willing to hand out $8.4 billion, to insure the uninsurable, why wouldn't we jump at that opportunity?